From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, you're listening to Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Proposition 1 is an important initiative that will be on ballots this Tuesday. For many people in Salt Lake City and surrounding communities, it's also a mail-in opportunity. We have a mail-in election this time. Joining me today will be Abby Albrecht. Abby is the director of the Utah Transportation Coalition, a group that has been organized to help promote Proposition 1. We'll talk about what this proposition will do, the amount of money that it will raise, the impact it will have on local communities, and why you may or may not want to consider supporting it. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis from the Downtown Alliance, joined today by my friend, Abby Albrecht. Abby is the director of the Utah Transportation Coalition. Abby, thanks for being in studio.
Thanks for having me, Jason.
Really an exciting week for transportation and transit-oriented programs. Most of you out there have seen the Prop 1 information. It's an informational educational campaign about this very important proposition. And I will say, in the interest of full disclosure, the Downtown Alliance and our sister organization, the Salt Lake Chamber, are firmly supportive of Prop 1, and we have been since its inception. So if you were hoping for an unbiased half hour of radio, you'll need to change your dial now. The listeners know that I rarely don't have an opinion on this show.
That's
I almost
good to
always
know.
Have an opinion of one kind or another.
Okay.
Let's talk a little bit about Prop 1, what it is, what it isn't. Give us sort of the Reader's Digest version of this new funding initiative to pay for local transit options.
So it is the most comprehensive transportation legislation that we've seen in state history. The legislature gave the counties the authority to put a quarter cent per sales tax on the ballot whenever. 17 counties elected to put it on in the 2015 election.
This is the most recent election that they were able to. They authorized this in the last legislative session, and 17 counties said, yes, we're in.
Yes, yeah. And really because there's such a dire need out there.
Yeah.
They knew the need was now. They knew they needed to take action immediately, and 17 of the 29 put it on the ballot. So essentially what it is, Jason, it's a penny for every $4 that we spend in sales tax. So it does not include your food. It does not include your mortgages. It doesn't include your utility bills.
If you buy a car?
Yeah. It's on your discretionary purchases. So when you go buy a new pair of shoes, it's a penny for every $4 to be dedicated back to local transportation investment. So the road outside of your house, the sidewalk between your house and your children's school, the bus route that doesn't come every 15 minutes now is potentially going to come every 15 minutes, late night, early morning bus service, trails. So there's a whole network of trails out there along the Wasatch Front and connecting those trails and sidewalk networks.
One thing that's interesting about this, the state legislature had to authorize it. But, and this may be reassuring to some, the state legislature will not be deciding how it's spent. It's decided on a local level, on a county level or a city level, right?
That's correct. So the way the funds are distributed are 0.1 of the 0.25 goes to the cities, 0.1 goes to the transit area, so in the case of the Wasatch Front, to UTA, to be used on bus services.
Specifically bus services.
Specifically bus. So late night, early morning, weekends, holidays, everything that riders are asking for more frequency.
Yeah.
In fact, and I'll finish my other thought later, but in fact, they had an increase in service in August, and they've seen those routes go up in ridership in excess of 33%. So it's great statistics, and it's what people want. So it's a great place to put the money as far as transit. And then the remaining 0.05 will go to counties for regionally significant projects. So when you, like in the case of Salt Lake County, you have a roadway that goes through a number of different cities. Projects like that.
It could go to that. Okay.
Yeah.
So it seems pretty thoughtfully constructed and reasonably distributed, sort of to meet the needs. You mentioned that one of the reasons there was such enthusiasm from political leaders across the political spectrum for this at the county level was because of unmet needs, that, mm-hmm. that counties and local governments are saying, hey, we are challenged to meet the needs of growing infrastructure. And maybe you could expound on that a little bit. Well, how do you know that? What is it, just anecdotal? People said, oh, we'd love more money.
Yeah.
Or how do you know that there are needs out there besides just driving over a pothole or right. having your favorite bus route canceled?
So this legislation took many, many years to get to its fruition. Mm-hmm. And we did a countless number of studies and worked with local elected officials for about the past 5 or 6 years. We've been hearing their needs. We've been hearing about how, on average, the local communities supplement about 60% of their transportation funds from their general fund. Mm-hmm. So taking away from first responders, fires and police, from your parks and recreation, from just the general needs of cities and communities, yeah. they're supplementing that money into fill, no pun intended here, Jason, the potholes
right.
In their community. And the BNC road funds right now, that's the state gas tax that goes to local communities, are just not filling the gap.
And why is that? Is the purchasing power gone down over time? Is it because it feels like this need has become more and more pronounced? Certainly the chamber's been talking about this for the last 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, decade.
Decade. Yeah. That the needs are not being met. And what has changed? Why is that?
Well, they're not being met, and we're at a point now where if you look at a curve, we're mm-hmm. at the top of a curve, mm-hmm. and we're continuing to go downward into the point of really no return.
Yeah.
Roads, good roads cost less. So if you can continue to maintain them and
sure.
actively make sure that you're keeping up with the age of a roadway, the age will last longer.
Just like your house. If you
Just
maintain
like
your house, it'll last a long
exactly.
time. If you ignore everything about it, it will fall apart.
That's what I keep telling my husband. He
yeah.
just doesn't listen.
I keep telling our next door neighbor that, and
oh,
they do not listen.
Geez.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're at a point now, Jason, if we don't pay for it now,
uh-huh.
we will pay much more later.
Later.
The average road cost of, you know, $1 to continue to maintain, $25 and upwards to totally reconstruct.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example. Cottonwood Heights. One project in Cottonwood Heights. It was called Bengal Boulevard. Happened mm-hmm. this summer. The city did not have enough money, so they got a grant from the legislature. It was about a $2 million project, mm-hmm. and it was under construction for about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So the impact to the driver was 6 months of detours and dust and, you know, inconvenience, right?
Yeah.
In the end, they got a great new roadway. Had they maintained it 5 years ago, when they should have done a one-week slurry seal or a
yeah.
one-week chip seal, it would have cost about $400,000.
Wow.
So if we continue to delay, if we continue to put off maintenance, in the end, we as taxpayers pay more.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to convey.
My understanding is that we haven't had a gas tax increase in decades.
1997.
So the purchasing power that we have now, and interestingly, with gas, it's not based on how much the gas cost. It's based on the price per gallon.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a gas tax per gallon.
It is.
Does this help to address that?
This particular tax doesn't help address the gas tax. So the legislation that I spoke about earlier has a component of the gas tax.
Right.
So again, the gas tax hadn't been raised since 1997, so 18 years.
Yeah.
It was a flat tax, so it didn't grow with inflation. Everything
yep.
grows with inflation except,
yep.
you know, our gas tax, both on the state and federal level. We haven't seen an increase on the federal level since 1993.
Wow.
So all the while, we're working off 1997 income.
Because normally this is the money that goes to pay for
yeah.
roads. Like, it's kind of a user fee. If
yeah.
you buy more gas because you drive a bigger car or you're driving around more,
right.
you pay more for roads. I think most people go, yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Not to pit you against Doug Wright, but he told me this morning that he had a 2006 F-150.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has a 2015 F-150, and it gets 15 miles to the gallon better.
Yeah.
So we
well,
have
this
more
show
fuel
can,
efficient vehicles.
This show could take Doug Wright.
Oh.
We could totally take Doug Wright.
This
is a challenge to Doug Wright right here.
We're calling it right now,
yeah.
Doug. You hear this?
Yep. But you're right. So mileage, cars are driving
yeah.
on less gas now, but consuming the same amount of road wear and tear
yeah,
that
the
they
wear
were
tear
then.
Is the same.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, quite frankly, probably more. People's
yeah.
lives are busier now
yeah.
and you're going more places and you're doing more things. You know, and we take advantage of the quality of life we have here in the state of Utah. We have a great economy. The job market is wonderful. And if we continue to put this on the back burner, it absolutely will affect us.
Yeah.
You know, you look at markets around the country. I'm going to speak to Portland next week, and, you know, the Philadelphias of the world, they're impacted by their transportation network. They can't get goods and services moving. They can't, you know, attract businesses. They can't attract employees, and it takes a big effect.
Yeah. So Natalie Gochner, who has a show on immediately after this with Greg Hughes and Jim DeBacchus, called Both Sides of the Aisle, also is the chief economist for the chamber, and she's been very clear that the transit system is a huge impact on our economy. That one of the reasons that we have one of the best economies in the country is because we've invested appropriately in the past in our transit system. And it sounds like this is really continuing that trend. That this is saying we've got some challenges. We haven't been able to put the money into maintenance and repairs. UTA's had to limit their service. But this is a way to sort of get us back on track so that 5 years from now or 10 years from now, we could still have the best economy in the country.
Yeah. So that's, just to put it into perspective, our transit service here, UTA, takes 120,000 cars off the road every day.
Yeah.
That's 120,000 cars off the interstates, 120,000 cars off local roads.
Yeah.
And the impact is incredible. We take that for granted.
Yeah.
And we really need to step back and look at what would this valley look like if we didn't have that transit network. And what this funding for Proposition 1 would go to is to give people more options, more network to get to the rail systems. You know, if you live in Harriman, you might have now one bus route. With Proposition 1, potentially up to five and you know, different routes and different times, giving people more options to be able to ride transit. Because if you actually make it an option, people generally take advantage of it.
If it's convenient and easy and it gets you where you need to go, why wouldn't
you? Why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't
you? Absolutely.
We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Abby Albrecht, director of the Utah Transportation Coalition. We're talking about Prop 1, a proposition on the ballot in 17 counties. When we come back, we'll talk about the impact of Prop 1 and additional funding for downtown Salt Lake City. We'll be back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. This is a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. Joining me today is a person shaping Utah's urban center through some advocacy for some new transportation money, Prop 1. This is a piece of legislation that was authorized in the legislature, and now residents of 17 counties across the Wasatch Front are being asked to decide if they want to pay a very, very small amount of additional money to help fund transportation and transit options in their local communities. Abby, remind people what the amount is. It's a pretty minor amount on retail sales.
It's a penny for every $4. And the average Utahn will pay about $40 per year additional. Yeah.
Yeah, because of this. And yet, the benefits seem pretty significant.
Oh, immense. So, independent study done by a research group in D.C. actually showed that in the Salt Lake metro area, we spend about $600 on wear and tear to our vehicles, emissions, loss in fuel, just because we're sitting in congestion. And this will help address that.
Yeah.
So this is about filling potholes, and this is about connecting sidewalks and fixing sidewalks. This is about giving, you know, more bus service so you don't have to drive, a trail network, a bike network. In the long run, it will save taxpayers money.
It's kind of an interesting thing, but it's certainly one that business leaders understand, that sometimes to save money, you have to make an initial investment. That if you own some sort of manufacturing plant or a retail store or law degree, there's an investment that's required initially to save money or to make money in the long run. And it's nice to see that business principle applied in this case to Prop 1.
Yeah, and we have a big group of businesses that are supporting this. Broad-based, you know, not just from what people are saying, the transportation industry. It's a broad base of businesses.
Yeah, I heard bankers speak, bankers from Zions and Wells Fargo speaking out on it. I've heard people from
utilities.
Yeah.
You know, it's City Creek and the Miller Corporation, and we have a large group that are really invested in this. A lot of developers and real estate, and because it is about continuing to keep Utah moving. It is about moving goods and services. It is about attracting employees.
Yeah.
And it is about the quality of life that we all really enjoy.
Yeah, well, I have to think too, where do we want to be in 5 years? Where do we want to be in 10 years? Where do we want to be in 20 years? And what are the tools that we have as a state or as a community to get us there? And certainly making prudent investments in our transportation and transit system seems really important.
Yeah.
We talk a little bit about air quality, and obviously this will have some indirect impacts on air quality.
It will. Actually, UTA estimates that about 43% reduction in the overall air quality of cars, because it can take about 1.2 million people more a year off the roads.
It was a result of additional funding from this.
Yeah, because it's all about options. It's giving people, you know, different options for how they want to get around.
So one of the programs that may be impacted from this additional funding is our beloved Green Bike program in downtown Salt Lake City. Since this is a show that talks about downtown, there could be additional funding for Green Bike and also maybe some expansions to some other communities with this funding.
Yeah, to address the other communities, we've actually... Ben Bolte, our friend at Green Bike,
a frequent guest on this program.
Ogden and Provo have both actually spoke to him about using some of their funds, their transit funds, potentially, if it passes in both of their counties, to be used on Green Bike for the expansion. Same thing goes here.
Yep.
Ben's been working really closely with UTA and with the city to see where the additional funds could go in different stations and different service. And, you know, it's really exciting. I think it's exciting for him and exciting for Green Bike.
Well, you see that, I mean, that's one thing I know a lot about that program, and just to see the enthusiasm that people have and the excitement that people have for the Green Bike program, a program really launched several years ago by Mayor Becker and then taken over by the Downtown Alliance and really brought to fruition by Ben Bolte. But to see that program expand and the most successful bike share program of its size in the country.
That's
and
amazing.
To have additional resources coming into that will only make it expand its scope and get out of the downtown area, which, you know, I, of course, want it focused just on downtown, but
course,
I realize it has to grow up. But that's really something that's exciting that will have a definite impact on downtown.
Oh, for sure. And it's, you know, it gives, again, more people the option. I mean, my kids love riding it,
yeah.
So it's a good...
It's a great program.
It's a good program.
We've also
We're
talked
lucky to have it.
Yeah, we are. It's a good thing, and to expand it is good. We've also talked about maybe expanding direct... downtown to University of Utah service. This was taken away a few years ago. UTA made some decisions and made some cuts, and so there isn't direct service. But this idea of a black line that would connect downtown to the University of Utah is really impactful for downtown. It's really something that is important to us as a downtown
absolutely.
Community.
I talked to Matt Sybil at UTA just the other day, and the traffic that goes to the university, UTA takes about 38% of that traffic off the roads, puts them into trains and buses, and takes them up to the university. About over 50% for games.
Yeah.
It's a great impact. And the money for Proposition 1 doesn't necessarily go to the Black Line right now, but potentially down the road, there's potential for cooperation between the city, the county, and UTA to look at joining all their funds for something like the Black Line, which is really important.
Yeah, something,
you know,
we really
S-Line
care about. The
S-Line expansion into Sugar House, and, you know, there's a number of different things that people are crying for, but they're looking at all the options right now.
Yeah. I know you've had a little bit of pushback from some entities. What are the things that people are saying? Why? Because we sit here and talk about this, and I'm just like, well, you'd have to be crazy not to support this. You know,
I do sometimes live in a bubble, but you know.
What are in the interest of fairness, what are people saying about it? Why would people say you shouldn't support it?
The number one thing that we get is the UTA component. And bringing up past history about UTA and executive bonuses and travel.
Yeah.
And
none of this can be used for that.
And that's what we keep saying. It is explicitly written in the legislation that this has to go to service and not to salaries and not to overhead. And, you know, that's always our talking point back is, you know, we keep drumming up the past of UTA, and UTA is making great strides to make some changes.
Yep.
They're they're actively working. They have a great leader in the former Bishop Burton.
Yeah,
from,
H. David Burton.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Whirlwind. Former presiding bishop for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
And he is making some changes, for sure. And I think you're going to see a brand new UTA here really shortly. And we've got to let them do their thing. They're the number one transit agency in the nation.
Yep.
Voted on by other transit agencies and their peers. And I said this before the break, Jason, but we are really lucky to have them.
Yeah, I think so too. I ride UTA every day. I take tracks at least once a day, usually twice a day from my house to my office. I take it through downtown. Whatever people may have concerns about UTA, I have not seen them. I've mostly had really great experiences, and I'm grateful that I don't have to have a car. I love not having a car payment. I'm very selfish that way, and it's awesome.
You can put that to, new shoes.
That's right. Yeah, you get to buy a lot of you can buy $400 worth of shoes every month if you don't have a car payment, an insurance payment, and gas.
And have that $400? $10 would go to transportation.
It's a great investment.
Think about that.
Abby, thanks for coming in. Anything else that you really want people to know? They need to vote by Tuesday. Is it a mail-in ballot everywhere or just in Salt Lake
City?
It's not.
The county has all but two cities that are mail-in ballot. So you can actually go to the ballot still on Tuesday. Please have your mail-in ballot postmarked by the 2nd. The other counties, they're kind of a mixed bag. Some of them are mail-in ballot. Some of them are still traditional. But the number one thing, Jason, vote.
Please vote.
This is – every vote counts in a municipal election.
Yeah.
And nothing is more important to you and your local communities than these local municipal elections. These
Absolutely.
Are the people that are your neighbors, in city council races. And this Proposition 1 affects – your communities, your neighborhoods.
Let me just make a direct appeal at this time to say to people, please, please vote. Your vote, your voice is so important. It matters so much. And it doesn't matter to me who you vote for. I don't care the candidate. I do encourage you to support Prop 1 and vote your conscience if you're in a city like Salt Lake City where there's a mayoral race or city council races for half the city council. Whatever you decide to do, whoever you decided to vote for, please vote. It's incredibly important that your voice is heard and that we're able to continue to build this great community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me.
Abby, thanks for coming in.
You can
come back. You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.